Well, if you have your Bibles, why don't you grab them and open with me to two places, Psalm chapter 27 and 1 Chronicles 7. And so if you have a bookmark, put your bookmark in 1 Chronicles, or 2 Chronicles 7, sorry, and then find Psalm 27 is where we'll start. If you don't have a bookmark, you got a finger. If you don't have a finger, use your neighbor's finger. Okay. Before we put our kids to bed at night, we often let them watch a little kids show that we have on Right Now Media. If you don't know Right Now Media, it is a whole online channel filled with kids programming and Bible studies and sermons that you can get for free through the church. So you can sign up through the website and you can download it on all your devices, and it's got lots of great stuff. We watch this show with our kids, and one night, a couple nights ago, we were watching it. And it was a church service in the episode. And right before the pastor was about to go up on stage, there was intro music and lights and confetti and all this hoopla around the pastor coming up on stage. And it was supposed to be comical and entertaining. And I look over at my kids to see what they're thinking. And my six-year-old Genevieve says, "That's weird, Dad. It's not supposed to be a show. It's supposed to be worship." And I said, "That's right, Genevieve." My six-year-old daughter understood what many don't today. The church is not about entertainment. It is not, "Well, here we are now, entertain us." Okay, this is a time for us to come together and to worship our great God. Church is not about a performance, it's about His presence. It's about His presence, it's about His presence. And there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. We come here into this place as a church family, not primarily to be in the presence of others, although that is necessary and valuable, but we gather primarily to be in the presence of the Spirit of God. Jesus says this, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am among them." Now, that does not mean that before the two or the three joined the one, that the Spirit of God wasn't there with the one. Are you with me? The Spirit of God was there with the one, but yet Jesus says that when there's two or three gathered together in my name, that there I am. Well, how can we make sense of that? If the Lord was already there, how can He be more there once there's more people in the room? Here's what this means. There is a special release of the grace of God when there is a gathering of His people. There is something that you and I will experience when other people are in the room that you will not experience by yourself. This is the value of the local church. This is the value of coming together. I mean, otherwise, we can all just distribute Bibles, and we can all go home and watch great worship and sermons on YouTube. Right? Right? I mean, all the pieces of what we do in church, you can take them, isolate them, and do them at home by yourself. But Jesus says that there's something special that happens when the church comes together. That there's something unique that takes place when a group of people who love Jesus get in the room to pursue the presence of Jesus. There's something that gets released in our hearts when we come together and pursue the presence of God. It's not about singing songs. It's not about a sermon. It's about the presence of the Lord. And here's what I know for sure. In His presence, nothing else matters. In His presence, nothing else matters. Now, there are other places you can go and other things that you can do where you can distract yourself. You can be present in other places doing other things. And in those moments, it may feel like nothing else matters. For example, a Toronto Blue Jays game. You can go to a sports game. You can go to see a play in theater. You can go to the Shaw Festival. You can go to Cineplex Odeon. You can go to the farmer's market. You can go to other places and you can be distracted about the sufferings and the anxieties of everyday life. Everybody with me? You can go places that will temporarily distract you from your present challenges. But when you have just been in the presence of God, come on, church, when you have just been in the presence of God, something changes in your life. That you can actually go back into your everyday life with something of value that will change your present sufferings. Here's what I know to be true. I enjoy a Blue Jays game just as much as the next guy or gal. But when I have just left the presence of the Toronto Blue Jays, I am an unchanged man. I enjoy myself. I enjoy the popcorn. I enjoy the experience. I enjoy the street hot dog that cost me $73. I enjoy it all. Enjoy it all. Do you take a credit card? No, don't do that. But when you have been in the presence of God, you didn't just spend time in His presence. You take something with you when you go. You either have some bigger revelation of who He is or some bigger revelation of who you are in Him when you have just spent time in the presence of God. The amazing thing about God and spending time in His presence is that you're just reminded constantly that there is a God who knows you, warts and all, and He loves you unconditionally. Now, I haven't met another person yet, and my wife comes pretty close because she's wonderful, but I haven't met another person yet in my life that the more they get to know me and all of my faults and failures, their love is unwavering and unchanging. Only God. Only God can see you continually rebel against Him and say, I still love you. I love you just as much as I did before you did that. Unchanging. Unchanging. And so today I'm continuing in this vision series. I've been endeavoring to share this vision that the Lord put on my heart of preparing people for eternity. That what I believe our church has been called to do is be all about preparing people for eternity and becoming a people who are focused on the things of the kingdom of God. We don't think short term, we think long term. We think so long term, we think into eternity. And so I spent 2 weeks on that. And now I'm turning to our church values. You're going to get one of these cards on the way out that we've made with our vision statement. And on the back, it has our four values as a church that we, as a staff, prayed through and believe that the Lord highlighted to us. So last week I preached on the first value, which is boldly proclaiming Jesus. We need preaching today in the church that is all about Jesus Christ and the cross. Secondly, what I want to talk about today is our need to humbly seek God's presence. Humbly seek His presence. And I think that there's value in seeing these two values one after the other. Moving from boldness to humility. There's a fine line when it comes to boldness and humility. We have to carry both of them in our hands. Because boldness taken too far can lead to arrogance. Have you ever met someone who is just a little bit too bold? They just thought a little too highly of themselves. They had a little bit too much confidence. Boldness taken too far can become arrogance. Humility taken too far can become self-deprecation. So what we need is both boldness and humility as we approach the Lord. We need to know who we are in Christ, that I am both exalted by Him and lifted up and made to sit with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am both lifted up with Christ and yet I am under His sovereign hand and will and word. I am both lifted up and loved by Him. I am held in His loving arms and I am corrected and rebuked by His loving grace. Boldness and humility. The only reason that I can come into my wife's presence with boldness to speak to her about anything in our life that, hey, we need to talk about this, we need to address this. The only reason I can have boldness is because first, I have humbled myself as her husband and committed to loving and serving her all the days of my life. Everybody with me? You must begin with humility before you have boldness. You don't start a relationship with boldness. You start with humility. And grow into boldness. And we as the Church of Jesus Christ must humble ourselves as we come into His presence. So I want to look at two scriptures this morning. Psalm 27 is where we'll start. A great psalm from David who wrote most of this beautiful book. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. I don't know what fears may be presently in your life, what opposition you may be experiencing, what frustrations, what affliction, what spiritual struggles, emotional, mental, physical struggles you might have. I don't know what addictions you might be battling, what sicknesses you might be walking through. But I'm going to make an assumption that David was going through a little bit more. Unless you're currently being pursued by people who are trying to eat your flesh too. That's what he said in verse 2. When evildoers assail me and eat up my flesh. Now clearly David is using a little bit of inflammatory language here. I don't think he was running away from cannibals. But he's describing what it was like to be pursued by these who, I mean, this is more than unpleasant coworkers. Okay? Can we say that safely? This is more than dealing with disgruntled neighbors who don't like it when your mail goes in their mailbox. This is persecution and this is suffering. And yet here's what David says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, I think when most of us think of strongholds, we think about demonic strongholds. Most Christians hear the word strongholds and they think 2 Corinthians 10:4, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against spiritual darkness. We think about the divine powers. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10:4, but have divine powers to destroy strongholds. And so most of the preaching, most of the books that are written on the topic of strongholds have to do with tearing down demonic strongholds. And yet, did you know that you can have heavenly strongholds? I've never heard it preached on. But David said, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. You can have godly strongholds. Now, what is a stronghold? You ready for this? A stronghold is something that has a strong... A-plus students in the room. Look at that. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? This is the deep stuff. See, sometimes we make things more complicated than they need to be. Well, what's a stronghold? It's something that has a strong hold in your life. That's literally what it is. What is it that has your attention? What is it that has your affection? What do you think about a lot? The economy? Politics? What is it that you think of on a continual basis? David says, I've got enemies surrounding me. I've got people chasing me down. But you know what has a stronghold in my life is the Lord. I'm thinking about Him. People are chasing me down and they want to destroy me. They're going to take joy in my downfall. And I'm just looking at you, Lord. You're amazing. You have a stronghold in my life. Best way to defeat demonic strongholds is to get godly strongholds. You say, well, are you struggling with any strongholds? Do you have any strongholds in your life, Pastor Tim? Yeah, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit have a stronghold in my life. How about you? Wouldn't it be good for us to find strongholds that are godly rather than focusing on all the demonic strongholds in our life? Well, we can make godly strongholds in our lives as well. So let's keep reading here. Psalm 27, verse 4. David says this, one thing I have asked of the Lord, one thing, not two, not three, not 12, one thing I have asked of the Lord and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple, for He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. Who is the rock, by the way, church? Jesus. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry out loud, be gracious to me and answer me. Now verse 8, look at this. You, God, You have said, seek My face. My heart says to You, Your face, Lord, will I seek. Here's the invitation that I want to lay before us today. Here's what God is calling His people to do. God says this, seek My face. Seek My presence. Every time the Lord's face is referred to in Scripture, it's a symbol for His presence. And within the heart of every child of God, there is a deep hunger and longing for the presence of God. Every person who has committed their life to Christ has a longing within them for more of Jesus. You have His presence, and yet you want more of His presence. The Christian life must be marked with an earnest desire for the presence of God. Do you remember what it was like when you first gave your life to Jesus? That sense of excitement and passion and longing for Him and to know Him more? I want to stir up within your heart today that hunger and fan into flame a deep affection for His presence in your life. Again, David says this, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in His presence." I believe that your life will be blessed if you make it your primary aim to be in the presence of God. It's walking with this in mind. I have Him, and yet I want more of Him. I have the Lord. I have His presence within me, and yet I want more of Him. I am both fully satisfied with the presence of God that is living within me, and yet I want more of the presence of God within me. A.W. Tozer, in his classic book, The Pursuit of God, says this, "To have found God and still pursue Him is the soul's paradox of love." To have found Him and still pursue Him, that's love. How many of you are married? Show of hands. Real high, like you love them. Come on. If you're married, how many of you understand you already have your spouse? They belong to you. And yet, how many of you, don't raise your hands, how many of you are still pursuing them? Don't raise your hands. Don't want to make the other people feel bad. Because you can be married and stop pursuing your spouse, right? Okay, I won't talk any more about that. So many distracting thoughts in my mind. It's amazing. Do you know, if any of you do any kind of public speaking, you can preach and think other thoughts at the same time. Anyways, I'm going to say no to the distractions. This is what it should be like to be a child of God, is you already have Him and yet you want more of Him. You're filled with joy with where you are, and yet you're not yet satisfied. You want more. It's being quenched of your thirst and still thirsty at the same time. In God's presence, here's what we find: rest, joy, peace, wisdom. In God's presence, we're reminded we are loved, we are chosen, we are called by Him. And it is my desire that this house be marked with a longing for more of the presence of God. Amen? More of His presence. So turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I'm going to read just two verses here. And one's going to be very familiar. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we find David's son Solomon. He's just successfully built the temple that David wanted to build. Remember, David wanted to build the temple to the Lord. The Lord said, "No, I want your son to be the one to build the temple." And so Solomon has just completed building the temple. And they throw this absolute party of parties, 7 days of feasting, right? We're doing 7 days of fasting in April. How many of you would be excited for 7 days of feasting? Like, sign me up for that. Maybe we'll do that next year. Maybe. But you got to come to the feast to qualify for the fast. Maybe we'll do that, right? 7 days of feasting, and on the eighth day they have this huge special worship service and offer sacrifices before the Lord. And then King Solomon sends everybody home, so service is dismissed. And then Solomon goes home and he does what every godly preacher does after church. He goes home and he has a nap. It's in the Bible. He goes home and he sleeps. And he's sleeping and the Lord speaks to him. You know the Lord can speak to you when you sleep? He said, "Dear, I'm not taking a nap. I'm multitasking. The Lord's going to speak to me." Verse 13. The Lord says this, "When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people." Now verse 14. "If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. I'm going to read that again. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. This verse ought to be written upon your heart. This verse ought to be something that you know. You know this. You know this. This is a beautiful promise from the Lord. Because in this one verse, God both invites us to humbly seek His presence, and at the same time, He promises to reward us if we obey. He invites you to seek Him, and then He says, guess what? I will bless you. I will reward you if you do what I call you to do. Here's the thing about seeking God. There are so many blessings attached to it that the devil in your flesh will work overtime to keep you from it. There are so many blessings attached to seeking the Lord that the devil and your flesh will work overtime to keep you from it. Everything that is worth great value, your flesh does not want, right? Vegetables. That's all I'm going to say about that. Anything of great value, your flesh says, no, thank you, pass the ice cream. The devil's not going to want you to prioritize seeking the Lord, so he's going to distract you. He's going to give you opportunities. Maybe you could do this, maybe you could do that. Psalm 63 says, God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. Early. Early. How many of you in your flesh, early you want to seek your pillowcase? Anybody? Early I will seek you. I get up early to seek the Lord, the psalmist says. But here's the thing, your flesh will never want you to wake up early to seek the Lord. Your flesh will never want you to prioritize seeking the presence of God. Your spirit longs for God. You're here. Come on, you're here this morning because there's something in your heart that wants to seek the Lord. I know it. Why would you be here if you didn't want to seek Him? Your spirit longs to seek Him, but your flesh longs for Netflix and endlessly scrolling through Instagram. Mindless screen time. Sorry, kids. Often conviction comes. Okay, kids, screen time is over. No more screen time. And then I go pick up my phone. Oh, I guess I should put down my screen too. Your spirit longs for the Lord. Your flesh longs for comfort. Food and comfort. Our greatest need is not greater leisure or relaxation. We are the most leisurely people in the history of the world. Do you know that? I just need some more me time, Pastor Tim. No, you don't. I just need a vacation, Pastor Tim. No, you don't. You need more time with Jesus. Can I be honest with you? You need more time with Jesus. All of us. You know what? You can't overdose on the presence of God. Isn't that good news? You can't take too much of it. All of us could use more time in the presence of God. Our greatest need, church, is more of the presence of God. Our greatest need. And God invites us, seek my face. David says, my heart says, your face, O Lord, will I seek. It's interesting. God calls us to seek His face, and yet He also says in Scripture, no one can see my face and live. Seek my face. If you see me, you'll die, by the way. How many of you like two steps forward, one step back, right? I heard Bill Johnson say this. Every time we enter the presence of God, something in us that is not pleasing to Him dies. Every time we are in the presence of God, something in us that is not pleasing to Him dies. The death that we experience in the presence of God is good, church. It's a good death. Sin dies in His presence. Temptations die in His presence. I believe that you can experience revelation of in the presence of God that may take 10 years of good preaching for you to learn. I believe that you can experience deliverance from addictions and wicked strongholds in the presence of God that may have taken years to overcome. I believe you can experience the loving conviction of sin in your life that you need to go and deal with and repent of, that may have taken countless counseling sessions for you to see. You might be seeking God for this concern in your life over here, and he gives you an answer for something that you didn't even know was a problem. He said, Lord, I'm asking you about this. And he's like, yeah, but you need to deal with this. Why? Because God always knows what you need right now, doesn't he? He knows what you need. And he speaks to you when you're in his presence because you've been pursuing him. I believe one of the greatest aims in our life must be the continual and consistent pursuit of the presence of God. So here's what the Lord says to Solomon as he sleeps. If you will humble yourself, pray, and seek my presence, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. Here's the definition of a conditional promise. If you, I will. If you do this, I will do this. It's conditional. It begins with you. And most people know this verse. This is a very well-known piece of scripture. But most people don't know the context. Here's verse 13. When I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among the people. Well, what are those things? Those are all things that are a sign of the judgment of God. That whenever God's people in the Old Testament would rebel and turn their back against him and worship other gods, what would the Lord do? Is he would bring judgment upon the land because of their rebellion. So the promise is given within the context, not just of, oh, when bad things happen, you can seek me and I'll deliver you. But when you suffer because of your sin, if you seek me, I'll deliver you. How many of you, don't raise your hands, just politely nod in agreement. How many of you have ever suffered because of your own sin? Self-induced suffering, right? This is what the Lord's telling Solomon, that even if you are the result of your suffering, if you will humbly seek my face, I will deliver you. David says this, what we just read in Psalm 27, that he says that the Lord will hide me in his presence in the day of trouble. Isn't that good news? That when trouble comes, it can't find me because I'm hiding in Christ. That's a beautiful promise. When things are tough in this world, we have a promise from God himself that he will deliver us if we humble ourselves and seek his presence. If we will humble ourselves and repent of our sins, he will forgive us, he will heal us, and he will give us a new start. If you're thinking, Pastor Tim, this has got to be one of the greatest promises in all of Scripture, I'd have to say, I think you're onto something. This is absolutely amazing. That when you suffer because of your own foolishness, you can seek the Lord and he'll say, I love you so much. I'll forgive you. I'll heal you. I'll deliver you from trouble that you yourself deserve. He will lead you and guide you. He will provide for you. He will promote you. He will bless you. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 26:5. You can look this up later. This is speaking of King Uzzah. It said, he set himself to seek God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. King Uzzah, he set himself to seek the Lord, and as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. The implication being, as soon as he stopped seeking the Lord, there was no prosperity. There was no blessing in his life. See, here's the thing. There are so many blessings attached to seeking God that herein lies the struggle. After God blesses us, we have to keep a humble heart. The Lord told God's people this in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, when you go into the promised land and when you've built many nice houses, remember this, Deuteronomy chapter 8, in that time be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God. It is often in plenty that we stop seeking Jesus. Many of you right now, you can remember back to a time in a season in your life where you sought the Lord. You had a burning hunger in your heart and you were filled with a desire to seek his presence. You were filled with prayer. You were filled with the word of God. You were filled with expectation that he was going to move when you were sitting on that hand-me-down couch. When you had six chairs around your dining room and all six of them were different because you got one from a different person or Value Village over here or a hand-me-down store over there. But how many of you are smart enough to recognize that sometimes we seek God less when we get the nice new stuff? that when the blessings come, sometimes we take the log off the spiritual fireplace and we say, you know what, God, I think I'm pretty good. I think I can take care of this from here. That once blessings and comfort come, sometimes we stop seeking the Lord. That we used to seek Him early in the morning, but now we seek espresso early in the morning. I said this years ago, and my sister keeps reminding me of it. I used to say, I go to bed at night looking forward to my morning coffee. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. I like coffee. It is God's gift to mankind. And if you don't like it, you're missing out on the blessings of the Lord. That's all I'm going to say. If you don't like coffee, here's what you do. You just put in enough cream and sugar until it tastes like you're drinking a donut. Are you taking notes? And then you just scale back until you've cut out all that stuff. And now I don't have any sugar in my coffee, just a whole lot of 18% cream. Not temp, don't give me 10%, 18% cream. You can tell I still like my morning coffee. But can I tell you, over the last several months, you know, what I look forward to at the end of the night is I say, Lord, I'm looking forward to what you're going to do tomorrow. What are you going to do tomorrow? Who are you going to speak through tomorrow? Who are you going to place before me that I get to witness to or pray for? What are you going to do in my life tomorrow? Because I have a new sense of expectation that, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming back. We're called to live with a sense of the imminent return of Jesus. I'm thinking about Him a whole lot more than I used to because I'm thinking about eternity. I'm seeking His presence. And again, Psalm 27:8, when you, the Lord, said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, will I seek. If I will respond to God's invitation and say, I'm going to seek after you, I believe that is the key. I believe this is the key for us today. Some people will say, Pastor Tim, this whole seeking thing, all this seeking business is Old Testament. We're reading from Psalms and we're reading from 2 Chronicles and we don't need to seek the Lord now the same way that Israel did because Jesus came and He already died on the cross and He poured out His Holy Spirit upon us. And so we don't need to seek Him anymore because He's already here. I mean, He lives inside. Well, let me respond by quoting from Jesus Himself. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So Jesus Himself says, you know what we need to keep doing to the New Testament church? Seek Him. Seek His presence. Seek His kingdom. And what are all the things that are going to get added? What are the things that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6? Food, water, clothing. The basic necessities of life. And if you were to be a fly on the wall in most conversations that are happening right now in our world, here's what you'll hear. Have you seen the price of milk? Have you seen the price of produce? I was at a store. Now, this was a higher-end grocery store the other day that I will not name to shame them. But things are expensive in this place, and my wife doesn't like when I go there. But a bag of Tostitos, I wanted Tostitos. You say, of course you did, Pastor Tim. One bag of Tostitos was $6.50. Yeah, I cast the devil right out of the aisle. Get out of here. And I'm leaving with you. I went home with no Tostitos. Declared a day of mourning. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I get it. I get the complaint about the price of life and the price of gas and the price of all these things. But can I encourage you and can I encourage myself this morning? Here's what Jesus says. Seek first the kingdom. And all those things will be added to all the stuff of life. Don't seek the stuff. Don't seek the money. Don't seek the higher salary. Seek the kingdom. Seek the presence of God and He'll buy your Tostitos for you. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. On Friday, we went to Once Upon a Child, which is my least favorite store in all the world to go to. My wife loves it, and I really just ask, can I please stay in the car? So we're going to be in there forever. It's like a black hole with just endless aisles of children's clothing. And they're so small. There's like 73 items in every size. Anyways, So we signed up all of our kids for soccer this summer. And so we had to buy some soccer cleats and some shin pads and all those things. And so we do all our shopping and we go up to cash out and they have this bag. I don't know what it is. They said, oh, you know, we're doing a draw. And they put out the bag. And so I let my daughter Genevieve, I said, reach in there. And she pulls it out. I didn't know what it was. They were coupons, different things on it, 10% off, get one item free, different things. She pulls one out and it says, get your entire purchase for free. I said, I'm going to go back up the truck. I'll be right back. Kenny said, what if you bought the whole store? It doesn't work like that. Now, you say, Pastor Jim, that's just a coincidence. That's just luck of the draw. You can say luck of the draw all you want. I'm going to say I'm blessed. I'm going to say that the blessing of the Lord rests upon me because I am seeking after him. Listen to me, church. There are blessings for people who seek after him. And I believe that when the Clausens entered into Once Upon a Child, that coupon climbed its way to the top of the bag. Just like those fish climbed into Peter's net. Come on, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. When I walk into a place, the blessing of the Lord walks with me. God takes care of me. Now, he can either give you deals, or he can put new money in the bank account, or he can bless you with a new job, or he can do all. How he does it is up to him. But the reality is that, listen, church, when you seek God, you get blessed. You don't seek him for the blessing. It's just a benefit. It's a byproduct of seeking the Lord. Listen to Psalm 34:10. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Nothing. You will lack nothing in your life if you make your life about seeking Jesus. If you want to live in lack and suffer without provision and live the rest of your life complaining about the price of Tostitos, then don't seek the Lord. But if you want to be blessed, seek his presence. Psalm 10:4 says the wicked does not seek him. It is a wicked thing to not seek the Lord. I say that with love in my heart for you. It is a wicked thing. If you are not seeking the Lord, it is a wicked thing to not seek the Lord. You cannot expect to receive blessings from the Lord. You say, Pastor Tim, I thought that the blessings of the Lord were all free. It's all by grace. No, your salvation's by grace. Blessings are rewarded to those who seek him. It's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. This is not a Presbyterian church, in case you're here for the first time. That's a joke. Psalm 40:16, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad. I'm telling you, if you're a grumpy Christian, remember grumpy Christian? We talked about him a couple months ago. If you're a grumpy Christian, seek the Lord. He'll make you happy. I am convinced you cannot stay grumpy and seek the kingdom of God. You can't. He'll give you joy. He'll give you excitement. Psalm 9, verse 10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 42, 1 and 2, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Jeremiah 29, 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And here's Hebrews 11, 6, for those of you paying attention, here's my New Testament verse, ready? Hebrews 11, 6, the Lord rewards those who diligently seek him. It's in the Bible, folks. There are rewards and blessings and favor that rest upon people who seek him. Here's the good news. Here's the best news of all. God's presence is available to you at any place, in any season of life, at any time of day, at a moment's notice. When I talk about seeking the presence of the Lord, it's not like there's this cosmic game of hide and seek and God's hiding. Where am I? Can you find me? But the Lord's not hiding from you. Seeking him is not a matter of, well, I got to find out where he is. Church, he lives inside of you. He lives inside of you. I know sometimes we lift our head to heaven when we pray, and that's good. I think that's a posture that's humble and good. But did you know that the Spirit of the Lord's not up there? He's in here. We have to become God inside minded. God lives in here. His Spirit lives in our spirit. He's here. And so when I seek him, you know what? He's available. He's ready. And he's listening. Seeking him is not about finding where God is. It's about prioritizing him in your life. And here are the only prerequisites. You ready? a humble and a hungry heart. You want to experience the presence of the Lord? Let me give you two thoughts. Be humble, be hungry. Be humble and be hungry. There is no such thing as humility without repentance. There is no such thing as prayer without hunger. A heart must be humble and hungry to walk in the presence of the Lord. Now, where do we go from here? You say, Pastor, I'm with you. I want to be humble in my heart. I believe I'm hungry for the Lord. I want to seek His presence. Let me give you just some practical thoughts. Seeking His presence must require you opening God's Word. Seeking the presence of God requires that you open His Word. Seeking His presence means you must be open to correction, conviction, and teaching from Him. Here's a beautiful prayer that you can pray. I pray this. I try to pray this every time I open the Bible. It takes me about 6 seconds. It's from the 119th Psalm. It says, open my eyes that I may behold beautiful things from your word. Every time I open the Bible, I just say, Lord, open my eyes. See something beautiful. You could read the genealogy in the Gospel of Matthew and be blessed. Open my eyes, Lord, to see something. Give me something today. You're going to read a chapter. You're going to read just a small portion of Scripture. Okay, Lord, speak to me. Seeking His presence means you're in His Word. You're open to correction and conviction and teaching. And let me give you this. Seeking His presence means you have a disciplined prayer life. Mealtime prayer is not seeking God's presence. Pastor Tim, I seek the Lord, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I pray 3 times a day. Seeking Him is not mealtime prayer, but finding time in your day to pray. Now, you can pray for long periods of time, or you can pray for short periods of time without long periods going in between them. You can dedicate a portion of your day to prayer, or you can dedicate your whole day to praying 10-second prayers all day long. That every time you get in your car, here's what I try to do. Every time I go into a meeting, I pray. Every time I leave a meeting, I pray. Every time I move into something else that I'm doing, I pray. It's a spiritual habit that you don't just walk into a room with your legs, you walk in with your heart. God, prepare me for what I'm about to walk into. And let me give you one more. Seeking His presence means fasting. Number one complaint or response or rebuttal that I received to seeking God's presence is this. You ready? I don't have time. I don't have time, Pastor Tim. I don't see my kids enough. I don't see my spouse enough. I'm working way too much, but I've got to work because I've got all these responsibilities. I don't have enough time. And so as soon as the Lord gives me 25 hours in a day, I'll seek the Lord. Not how it works. Find time. You can't find time? Let me help you. Let me help you. Fast. Fast from something. Doesn't have to be food, but let's look at food. If you fasted from lunch one day a week, or if you said all week long, I'm going to fast from lunch. The time that you would have spent preparing for eating that meal and cleaning up after that meal, you could have had yourself a 40-minute prayer meeting. If you made a grilled cheese sandwich, you could have had yourself a 15-minute prayer meeting. Fast. Or some of you are really not going to like this. Fast from TV. Could you hear the quiet groan through the room? Ooh, that hurt, Pastor. Fast from TV. The funny thing is, you know, nobody apparently has time, but when I drive home late at night, you know what I see through everyone's living room window? Every night when I'm driving home, I count how many TVs are on right now. All of them, right? All of them. It's amazing. We don't have time, but we for sure find time for what we want, don't we? Come on, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to make you guilty. Guess what I do before I go to bed at night? I watch a show. And I relax for a bit. No, that's fine. But find something. And if you have no time, then maybe fast from TV. Here's an idea. Maybe fast from watching the Toronto Blue Jays. Some of you are like, okay, wrap this up, Pastor. I think we're done with the points of application. I was ready to seek the Lord before you went there, right? What's my point? My point is this. Find time. And if you don't have time, stop doing something else that's taking your time and give it to Jesus instead. And can I tell you something? He will bless you. He will bless you. I'm not trying to manipulate you to get you to do something that you don't want to do. I'm telling you the Bible truth. He will bless you if you seek his presence. And you will find more joy in his presence than you will through entertainment, through relaxation, or through comfort. So stand to your feet with me this morning, and I want to read this one more time. Psalm 27:8. Here's the Lord's invitation to us. God has said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Let me pray over us right now. Lord, I thank you for your word. That, Lord, your word is that beautiful double-edged sword that, Lord, it attacks our enemies, but it also pierces us. It convicts us. And so, Lord, I thank you for your word today reminding us of this call to seek you. And that seeking you takes time. It takes sacrifice. But, Lord, if we'll do it, we'll be blessed. And so I pray today for everyone in this room that, Lord, you would help create in us, first of all, that humble heart, that hungry desire to seek you. Because if we're not hungry to seek you, then every moment that we spend seeking you will be a lie, and there will be no fruit that comes from it. But if we are hungry, then, Lord, we will experience your presence. So, God, I pray that you would give us that hunger to seek after you, that we would find ourselves seeking your presence. And, Lord, I know that as we do that, you're going to speak to us. You're going to give us the wisdom that we need for the task that's ahead. So, Lord, I pray that you would continue to lead and guide every person in this room, Lord, as they seek your face, that you would see to it that they lack no good thing. I thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.